Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and with me, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today. We'll remind you that we're airing on the HPR network at KATX 97.7 FM and also on KNNK 100.5. Also, we're airing on Internet Radio, www.knowthetruthradio.org. And you can also listen in on a TuneIn app. If you type in Know the Truth Radio in the search area, you can listen to us on your iPhones or iPads. Now, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we encourage you to do so. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And also, you can email us a question or a comment at questions@harrisonmoore.org. If you're listening to us online or have your computer up, you can also be involved in a chat box that occurs there at the knowthetruthradio.org, and you can chime in to the discussion that's taking place. We also want to give a thanks to our additional sponsors, not only the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton and the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, but we also want to recognize our additional sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood. Now, our motto is, and will always be, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible says. Have you ever noticed that everyone seems to be fixed on the end of time? Everybody's thinking about the end of days and things of that nature. As a matter of fact, on this program, almost a year ago, a fellow by the name of Harold Camping decided that the Lord was going to come, and he predicted that he was going to come on May the 21st in the year 2011. Well, it didn't happen. He had his numbers wrong. He said, well, it's going to happen on October the 1st, 2011. Well, it didn't happen. And then later he said, well, the Lord did come, just nobody knew about it. That type of scenario is taking place all over the place. Even a guy by the name of Hal Lindsey continues to think that he knows when the time has come. But there is going on right now a big hoopla, if you will, about the Mayan prophecy, so-called. The clock is ticking down to December the 21st, the supposed end of the Mayan calendar. And from China to California to Mexico, thousands are getting ready for what they think is going to be a fateful day. The Maya didn't say much about what would happen next. After about a 5,125-year cycle known as a long count comes to an end, they didn't say much about what was going to happen. So into that void have rushed occult writers, bloggers, and New Age visionaries foreseeing all manner of monumental change from doomsday to a new age of enlightenment. As a matter of fact, the 2009 disaster flick entitled 2012, helped spark the doomsday rumors. With its visions of Los Angeles crashing into the sea and mammoth tsunamis, waves swallowing up the Himalayas, foreboding TV documentaries and alarmist websites followed, sparking panic in the corners of all globe thousands of miles from the Mayan homeland of South Mexico and Central America. You know, even the internet frenzy has fed into this, spreading rumors that a mountain in the French Pyrenees is hiding an alien spaceship that will be the sole escape from destruction. As the clock ticks down, scenarios have mounted about how the end will come. You know, some, David, even believe a rogue planet called Nibiru will emerge from its hiding place behind the sun and smash into the earth. Others say a super black hole at the center of the universe will suck in our planet and smash it to pieces. At least two men in China are predicting a world-ending flood. They are both building an ark. They spent thousands of dollars upon in building these arks, and one guy built a vessel called the Atlantis, a 3-ton yellow steel ball, 13 feet in diameter, designed to survive a volcano, a tsunami, earthquakes, a nuclear meltdown, according to one of the magazines there in China. David, people are going crazy.
Well, it's amazing what people will believe and how much money and faith, their own kind of belief that they will put into things like this. Hotel owners around a pyramid-shaped Mount Rajni, I guess that's a pronunciation of it. It's east of the Balkans. They say that bookings are flooding in with believers in the prophecy of this Mayan prophecy, hoping that its purported mysterious powers will save them from the apocalypse. And these adherents of this end-of-the-world scenario think that this 5,100-foot-high mountain, part of the Carpathian Range, conceals a pyramidal building inside left behind by some alien visitors thousands of years ago. Friends, what we're trying to get across here is that people are really, really afraid and concerned of the end of times. They don't know what's going to happen, and they're grasping for straws at any place that they can get it. And this is the topic of our conversation tonight, this Mayan apocalypse, or this so-called Mayan apocalypse. And by the way, the Mayans didn't say that it was going to be the end of the world. It's just the end of their calendar. That's all in the world. And they have even made statements pleading with these people, don't think that we're saying that this is the end of the world. And yet these doomsday believers, they refuse to believe anything else, Tom.
Exactly. And you kind of wonder how people can get so taken by this kind of idea. And I have a hard time envisioning people getting caught up in really believing that they can go to a mountain and there's an alien spaceship there waiting to take them away to avoid the destruction of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and when you look at some of the things that have been written by this, David, some of the anthropologists, as they were looking at this Mayan calendar,
mm-hmm.
They were said some of these things were not even legible enough to be able to read it as to what these so-called gods were going to do when they came down. They couldn't
mm-hmm.
even read it, and yet everybody is going to this. People just like those things that are mystical and mysterious, don't they, David?
That's so very true. And what we're going to deal with tonight is we have read to you some of the things that are on the internet. They're on newspapers and magazines. They're very well chronicled all over the world, from China to Russia. Everybody's in on this Mayan doomsday thought. And what we want to show you is how ludicrous it is what some of the things that people believe, and they will totally reject anything that God's Word has to say, Tom. And this is what we're going to deal with tonight. We're going to ask and answer some questions here, and the Bible's going to give us the answers. And one of the things that has come out of this Mayan prophecy is that they think that they know that the end of the world is coming, but they don't know the date and they don't know the time.
They think it's December the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they?
That's the big date on the Mayan calendar, so that's what they're thinking.
Well, David, how many dates have there been over time that people have already predicted the end of time?
Those are countless.
Yeah.
They are countless. Even from some people that profess that they know what's going on with the ends of times, and even some biblical scholars will jump up and try to say. And by the way, this was Harold Camping was one of those biblical scholars, self-professed biblical scholar that you were talking about earlier. But the predictions have been countless. And one thing that is in common with all of these is they think that they will be able to predict a time and a date, and that is not what the Bible says. And we're going to get into this. So you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible have to say. They think they know the time. They think they know the date. In this particular instance, it's December the 21st. Another thing that is pretty common in this belief, Tom, is that these believers, these doomsday believers, the reason they're traveling all over the world is they think that they have a way to escape the destruction of the world.
Exactly. Now, remember, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or the numerical number is 1-855-722-4253. Now, this is a toll-free number. You can call in. We encourage you to call. We've had a lot of activity on the chat box. But we would also like people to call in with some comments or questions. We're encouraged by this. Now, David said that they think that they know the date that the end of time is going to come. They think that they are going to be able to escape this by through some hidden structure in a mountain or some foreign spaceship. Now, just looking at that, David, that just tells you it's all ludicrous.
Well, to the logical thinking individual on the face of the earth, yes, it is. But
yeah.
but why would someone rather grasp at that than to look to the Bible and see what God
exactly.
has to say?
And so we're going to be talking about those things, as well as one of the ways that these guys thought the world was going to be destroyed during this Mayan apocalypse is by a worldwide flood.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. And also, why, David, do people believe such things? And we'll be spending some time with that.
Right, right.
So, David, they say that they know the date that the end of time is going to be according to the Mayan calendar. That's what men say. What does the Bible have to say?
Well, and for those of you who are in a place, if you're driving down the road listening to us, we would caution you to open your Bibles, not to do so. But what we're going to see what the Bible has to say. There is that great day coming, Tom. There's no doubt about it. There will be a second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have heard now what the men have had to say about the end of times. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say. First of all, Jesus himself said that he would come back. In John chapter 14 and verse number 3, when he was preparing his disciples for his departure, for his upcoming crucifixion, he told them, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And verse 3 says, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So he is coming again. He will come to take the saved with him, and he will return back to the Father's house.
Exactly. So there we have a passage, Jesus himself saying that he is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But you know also, David, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, there when Jesus is about to ascend he's risen from the dead, he's met with the apostles, he's about to ascend into heaven and his apostles witnessed that. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, "And he also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven?" As they were watching Jesus ascend into heaven. "This Jesus," he says, "who was received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven." So here we see that we're being told that he is going into heaven and going to come back once again.
Right. And not only that, Paul the Apostle, through the Holy Spirit, told the church at Thessalonica that the Lord would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And that is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 16. And in the second letter, he told them that the Lord would be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, Tom, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. And then in the great book of the Revelation, in chapter 1 and verse number 7, this is what we hear the Revelation say. Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also with which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So the Lord is coming, the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It will happen.
So there's no doubt that he's coming back, and we're not trying to say that there is not going to be an end of time. But what we're saying is that people who claim that they know when that exact date is seriously mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says something much different from that, doesn't it, David?
Absolutely it does.
You'll notice, won't everyone who's got their Bible handy turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and David there is going to pick up a thought there in a moment, but we're going to see here the Lord's return is going to lead events of a great day of the Lord, and the day is going to be, well, it's going to be a day that we do not know. And that is clearly stated in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, isn't it, David?
Absolutely. In verse number 36, Jesus himself said, "But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So any man or any woman who would say, "Yes, I know the day of the end of the earth," he's saying that he knows more than the angels of heaven, that he knows more than even the Son of God himself, Jesus the Christ.
Exactly. Now, of that day, how do we know that what he's talking about concerning that day?
Well, that day, he even goes on from there, and he starts telling us more about that day. He said, he even compares it there with the days of Noah and the end of the earth at that particular time.
Yeah, and if we back up to verse 35, he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away." Well, that's the day he's talking about,
mm-hmm.
when the heavens and the earth are going to pass away. And he said, David, that no one knows when that day is going to be but his Father only.
Mm-hmm.
That means Jesus didn't know?
That's what he said.
Does that mean the angels didn't know?
That's what he said.
You think that the Mayans knew?
He said they didn't.
So if no one knows but the Father, that means that Harold Camping doesn't know.
No.
That means Hal Lindsey doesn't know. That means the Mayans doesn't
mm-hmm.
know. That means that Jehovah's Witness doesn't know. And we could just go on and on and on listing people who claim they know when that day comes, when the Bible says no one knows. You have heard what men have said. Listen to the Bible. The Bible says no one knows when that day is going to come.
Right.
It's not going to be a secret coming either, is it, David?
No, it's not. It's not going to be secret at all, because when he comes, the trump is going to sound. Every eye shall see him. The description that we have from the great judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25, he says all of his holy angels are going to descend with him. Now, I don't know how many there are, but all, you know, when he talked there in other places about 12 legions, we're talking about thousands upon thousands of angels. So all of the angels are going to come and descend with him. And if this is the case, there's nothing secret about it.
Exactly. You know, and there's going to be, it talks about how in the 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2, Paul speaks of the sounding of the last trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a great sound. Mighty angels are coming down. And, you know, when we think about this, David, realizing that the day is coming, and no one knows exactly when that day is coming,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be a day that we're not going to mistake for something else. It's going to be very clear. You know, David, there are some people, though, who actually think that they're going to be able to escape this day. You know, when we're looking at that information we read a moment ago, some people thought that they might be able to go up to that mountain
mm-hmm.
and get in that spaceship
mm-hmm.
and fly away and miss the destruction of the world. And then that one place you read a moment ago about those who would go into this so-called structure inside a mountain, and they could be able to escape the destruction of the world. But, David, is mankind going to be able to escape that final day.
Absolutely not. And that's what men say.
Yeah.
And that's a myth of man. But listen to what the Bible has to say here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 25. He says, "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven." And this is exactly what people are trying to do. They're trying to grasp at any and everything except the Word of God. They think that they can get away and escape, and everybody else is going to be destroyed, but not them, because they somehow have known something and learned something that the rest of the world is not privileged to know or to learn. The fact of the matter is, God says, you will not know, and you cannot escape.
Exactly. Now, we're talking about the so-called Mayan apocalypse that is supposed to occur on December the 21st. At that time, the world is going to come to an end, according to the Mayan calendar. And we are showing that that cannot be the case. They do not know the date, because the Bible says only God knows the date. Some of them think that they can escape, but the Bible says there will be no escaping this. Now remember, you're listening to this program on the HPR network at KATX 97.7 and also KNNK 100.5 and also knowthetruthradio.org. We want to encourage you to call in at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also email us a question or a comment at questions@harrisonmoore.org. We want to encourage you to also, if you're listening to us on the Internet and you're there at the knowthetruthradio.org, we have a chat box there where you can chime in and ask a question or make a comment. We would prefer you to call in by telephone, wouldn't we, David?
Absolutely.
That's the best way to go, and we encourage you to do so. We also want you to remember our webpage, harrisonmoore.org. We have the past programs archived there. You can also check us out on Facebook and Twitter, and we want you to be a part of this radio program. You have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible says.
Now, Tom, one of the great purposes, you know, God has a purpose for everything that he does. There's a reason for the things that he does. And one of the great purposes of his coming is to raise the dead. Those that have died, those that have gone on before us, we can see this in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, where he says, "For the hour is coming in the which that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth." Now, this is a very important thing, because when he comes, everybody that is in the grave is going to come out of that grave.
Exactly.
And there's something else that's going to take place there. Let me just finish reading this passage of Scripture here. He says, "Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in the which that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, there's just going to be one resurrection, and that's going to be both the good and the evil, and it's all going to occur at the same time. There's going to be a resurrection both of the just and of the unjust. And we see another great purpose for his coming is to deliver up the kingdom to God.
Exactly. You know, when we think about delivering up the kingdom, there are a lot of people, David, who believe that the kingdom has not yet occurred.
Mm-hmm.
But how is Jesus going to deliver up something that has not yet occurred?
Well, he can't. He absolutely can't. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 23, at the latter end of that verse, number 23, he says, "At his coming, then comes the end." So there'll be no more when he comes. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. At his coming, then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Now, if the kingdom is not in existence, he can't deliver it.
Exactly. And so there we see the importance then of this second coming of Christ. You know, it's not just the destruction of the world, but there is a purpose behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, I've got a question here about this issue that these so-called Mayan apocalyptic believers hold to. You know, I talked about how when they believed that the second coming was coming, or that the end of time was coming, some of them believed that the earth was going to be flooded.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be a worldwide flood, and that the world was going to be destroyed by water. But if memory serves me right, David, didn't this happen before, and then God made a promise about that?
Absolutely. And we can read all about the flood, and many people like to call it the Noah's flood. Well, Noah and his family were the only one that did escape, and God made provision for everyone to escape if they wanted to. They just didn't want to do it on his terms. And so Noah agreed to the terms and did exactly what God would have him to do. And when he did that, he allowed him to escape. Now, when he came back off of that ark after all of the waters had subsided, God made a promise to him in chapter 9 of the book of Genesis. And what he told him in verse 11, he says, I will establish my covenant with you, and neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between you and me and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. I set my rainbow in the cloud for a token. That is to cause everyone to remember, I will never destroy the earth with a flood again.
You know, David, what I see in all this with regard to these first three points that we've looked at, people say they know the date. People think they can escape this date, and they say that it's going to happen by a flood. That tells me, David, that people aren't interested in what the Bible has to say. They're more interested in what man says.
Mm-hmm.
They're more interested in what some movie set forth or what some novel has discussed. They're more interested in man. We hear what man says, but people need to start listening to what the Bible has to say.
And that is the purpose of this program here. The total purpose of our program is to show the listening public out there what the Bible has to say. Man can say a lot of things, but God does not have to abide by what man says. It's the other way around.
Exactly.
Man has to abide with what God has to say, and man is totally rejecting everything that he is and that he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
These Mayan doomsday prophets that are out here, and it's not the Mayans, it's those that are they're holding on and grasping on to a straw here. Even the Mayans say, we never said that it was going to be the end of the world, and they won't accept that.
Yeah, exactly. A guy by the name, and I can't say his name well, David, you're the Spanish expert, but he's a descendant of the Maya, and he said that his community in Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula sees the date as a celebration of their survival, despite centuries of genocide and oppression. The Mayan people didn't look at it that way, and yet people are taking something they didn't even say and saying really just the opposite.
Right.
The end of their calendar marks a day of celebration, but the world is turning it into a day of destruction. That just shows you how ridiculously naive people can be into believing such hogwash.
Right, right. Now, well, you're listening to the HBR Network and also to KnowTheTruthRadio.org.
Exactly.
The internet radio station. And it's about time for us to take a break, so we're going to take a small break here, and we will be back on, for those of you that are on the internet, we're not going to break away from you, but we will break away from the HBR Network for just a few minutes. And Crash, why don't you take us away?
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
If we can get it in work it in the program, we will certainly do it.
And, you know, David, we might also mention that Radio40.org has several Spanish programs.
Mm-hmm.
Those who speak Espanol can listen in their own native tongue and be able to listen in to the gospel in Spanish.
Okay. Well, welcome back. Those of you who were on the other side of the break, welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. We want to thank all of our listening audience for listening in, but we also want you to participate. We really, really want you to participate in this. So send us an email, get on the chat box, whatever it is that you want to do, however it is that you want to get with us. We would love to hear from you and love to respond to your questions. When we started this program today, we were addressing the Mayan prophecies and how it is that men and women have totally disregarded what God has had to say, and instead they have taken what men have had to say, and they are predicting now that they know the end of the time of the world, which is December 21st. That's next week. When is that? Next Tuesday or?
Well, I don't know, but it's on my daughter's birthday.
Well, it's not very far from now, whatever it is. And they also believe that there is a way to escape the destruction of the earth. And we've seen some of the ludicrous ways that they say that they can do this, even though the Bible says they can't. There are those who are preparing for a universal flood, when the Bible says, no, it will never happen again. And our big question is, why do people choose to believe in these kinds of things? And have we got
you're
somebody
on the
line?
More Expedition of the Bible. Are you there?
We've got a caller.
Caller, are you there?
Evidently not. Evidently not. We'll try it again in a minute. So we're talking about and asking the question: why do people choose to believe in such things as this, and actually reject what the Bible has to say? Now, we have shown that the Bible teaches that there will be a second coming of Christ, and the Lord is going to return. The fact of the matter is, Jesus the Christ said, we will never know the day of that return. We're not going to know the day, we're not going to know the hour, And as a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 42, he then tells us to prepare. Make preparation. You be prepared whether you know the day or whether you don't know the day. The fact of the matter is you're not going to know the day, so make
Hello.
Preparation for this.
Tom Moore, you have a caller. To accept the call, press 1. For more options, press star.
Okay, this is
our... All right, we got a caller on the line. Caller, can you give us your name and your comment, please?
Hey, Tom, David, good show tonight. This is Terry.
Hey, Terry.
How's it going, man?
We're going all right. How are things going with you?
Good. Hey, I've got a comment that I want to make. It's taken from Isaiah 66, verse 4. You know, the question that was asked earlier, right before you took a break, was why would people believe this kind of mischief? And especially in light of the scientific world, NASA has got an article planned for December 22nd. It's the time when I told you so article that this was not, that this was all a hoax.
Uh-huh.
But at any rate, in Isaiah 66, verse 4, Isaiah wrote, "So will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight." The problem is right there, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
They just won't listen to God. And if they don't listen to God, they'll believe anything.
You know, why is it that people are not willing to believe in God? And why do they... Well, you know, we know they choose not to. But there are so many who willingly choose to instead abide by some strange idea. You know, I have a hard time figuring that out. How about you, Terry?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, to me, it makes so much more sense to believe in God. You know, when you look at there's two passages that in Isaiah that really say the same thing, that if you don't believe in God, just like the one we just read a moment ago, you're going to believe these delusions. You're
mm-hmm.
going to believe all these false prophets, all these false teachers, because you have no standard to go by. You don't have any kind of a clear pattern to follow.
Exactly. You know, I'm thinking about a long time ago, a guy by the name of, I forgot his name now, but he said it's amazing. Mark Twain said, "It's amazing what people will believe so long as it is not the Bible." And that's exactly what you're talking about, isn't it?
It's exactly what we're talking about. And it's the same thing that Isaiah said. Basically, the Apostle Paul said the same thing, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9.
Exactly. So you're basically saying the reason people believe all this hogwash is because they just rather believe a lie than they would to believe the truth.
Right.
What does that say about our society, Terry?
We're in trouble.
That's right. Exactly true.
We'd rather, you have the saying on your program.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is what men have said about the Bible. We've been told what the Bible said. The problem of it is people want to hear what men have said about the Bible over what the Bible says.
You know, you're exactly right. And you know, it's not only true about the end of time, but we could even make a parallel in other days about salvation and worship. People would just rather do it their own way or listen to somebody else than the Bible, rather believe a lie than they would believe the Bible. And I guess that's what we have with the end of times, too, huh, Terry?
Unfortunately, you're right, Tom. That's exactly what we have.
Well, I really appreciate your call, Terry. Very good comments. You got anything else you want to add to the scenario?
No, you guys are doing an awesome job.
All right. We appreciate you calling in, Terry. Good talk with you.
Thanks a lot, Terry. Call back soon.
You guys.
Call All back right. soon. Okay. Well, okay. We're good to have Terry call in. For those of you that are listening, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. The numbers are 722-4253. It's a toll-free number. It won't cost you a dime if you call in. 855-QA-BIBLE. That makes it simple. Just dial those numbers, those letters on your phone, and you'll call right in. Now, we're talking about the end of time. We're talking about that great day that is going to come when Jesus Christ returns and what is going to happen. First of all, we have discussed already, Tom, that there is absolutely no doubt that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is coming again. There will be one more coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one and only one, and it will not be a secret one. There will be a purpose to this. He's going to deliver up the kingdom, but before he delivers up that kingdom, he's going to raise the dead. The dead are going to be raised. Now, people have a hard time getting hold of this concept.
Exactly. Huh? You know, and when we talk about the raising of the dead, you know, they're going to be raised up to something. You know, people today have an idea that there's not going to be an afterlife, and so that's why they're trying to escape this horrible destruction for one reason, isn't it, David?
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe that there's going to be. They think that they can escape.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to. They think they know the date. They think they know when it's going to come. They think it's going to be a destruction that they're going to try to escape through that spaceship or through that round ship that's going to be on the earth. And then, as we mentioned earlier, some people think, David, that it is going to be destroyed by a flood. And we've already seen that Noah in the long ago was promised by God that he would never destroy the earth again by water, and we have a promise. And where do we see that promise?
In Genesis chapter 9.
Every time we see a rainbow,
mm-hmm.
don't we? We're again verified of the promise that God made that he is not going to destroy the earth. And yet that we have people here who blatantly overlook what the Bible has to say, and they bring in their own ideas.
Right. I mean, even though people can stand out there and see the actual rainbow, they don't believe that either, and that is a crying shame. That is an absolute crying shame. We also have talked about God is going to raise up the dead. Now, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, we read this: "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Now, that shows us that there's not going to be a silent return.
Exactly.
And then he says, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And so here we see that we will be raised from the dead. Whatever form it was that you were when you were in the physical is going to be changed into the spiritual and raised, and we're not exactly sure just exactly how that's going to happen, but we do know that it will happen because it's a promise by God, an unconditional promise by God.
And it's because God said so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
we don't, you know, like you say, we can't explain everything, but we do know what God has said. You know, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but we can know the things that he has revealed.
Mm-hmm.
He has revealed to us that he is coming back. He has revealed to us that we do not know the date. He has revealed to us that we're going to be raised from the dead. But you know, David, I still have a big problem in trying to understand why do people believe in such things. You know, Terry said a moment ago, it's because people simply do not want to listen to what the Bible has to say.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, David, in that, there are a lot of people who are getting caught up in astrology and zodiac signs and palm reading and things of that nature, and they would rather listen to that than they would listen to God's Word.
Well, you know, right along those same lines, how many people do you know that can't wait to get their newspaper? And it seems like every newspaper in the United States carries the astrological forecast. The astrological forecast is a forecast made up of men. It is very similar. If you look at the design of this astrological forecast, it is very, very similar to the Mayan calendar. You have all of these creatures that have been brought forth to show us the astrological saying of the day. You have Taurus the bull, and you have Pisces, the fish, and what do you call these things?
Oh, zodiac signs.
The zodiac signs. And so people can't wait to get the newspaper to see what their sign is going to be that day, and they prepare their day based upon what that sign has said. And yet they will reject what God has said, and they'll take that zodiac sign and go to work with it.
You know, I can just as easily look at that Mayan calendar as look at an Oreo cookie and decide when the end time is going to come, because it does not tell us that. As a matter of fact, David, in the book of Isaiah, didn't it tell us about those people who would try to follow after various signs and prognosticators and stargazing,
right,
and all that kind of astrology stuff? The Bible says something very specific about that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. In Isaiah chapter 47, the Babylonians are chastised here. In verse number 11, he says, "Therefore shall evil come upon you. You shall not know from whence it rises. And mischief shall fall upon you. You shall not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments and with the multitude of your sorceries, wherein you have labored from your youth, if so be that you shall be able to profit, if so be you may prevail. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you." And then he goes on to tell them they're going to be destroyed. But he is actually mocking them for believing in these astrological forecasts. This is not something new. This is something been going on for a long time.
Exactly. You know, and I'm looking here at the chat box, David, and Chris makes a valid point. He says, "Many are like the first century century folk described in Romans 1, verse 22, concerning their end-of-time prophecies. They're professing to be wise, they became fools."
Mm-hmm.
You know, David, anybody who is going to neglect the Word of God for horoscopes and some kind of astrology and zodiac signs, they're professing to be wise, but they're fools.
Right.
And anybody who looks at the Mayan calendar thinking that that tells them when the end of time comes is professing to be wise, but they're fools.
Well, not only that, anyone who thinks that they can escape death is a fool.
Exactly.
I don't care where you run. You will die.
Exactly.
If you live, you will die.
You know, I don't know how much it costs to get on that spaceship or how many people are going to be able to get in that spaceship, but that is just such a strange and weird idea. It has to come from somewhere else than the Bible.
There's no doubt about that.
They became fools.
They became fools is right.
Well, remember, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Terry called in a moment ago with a good comment. We're thankful for that. We encourage others to call in. Our time is rapidly ending, so if you want to get in with a final comment or question, we encourage you to call in very quickly. Now, we're talking about, David, the so-called Mayan apocalypse. We've talked about how that they think they know the date, but the Bible says no one knows the date, only the Father. We've mentioned how that they think that they can get escape, and but they cannot escape. They think that that it was going to be done by a flood. The Bible says it's not going to be a flood. And why do they believe such things? Well, because they would rather believe mystical things than they would the Bible. But, David, when we think about this final day that's going to occur,
right,
a day that we don't know when's going to happen, only the Father, there is going to be a great day of judgment at that day.
And this is very important for everyone to understand. There will come on that last day, the dead is going to be raised from the grave. Everybody that is in the grave is going to come out, and the judgment will take place. Now, it's interesting to note, this is an appointment that none of us are going to be able to break. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." That appointment, Tom, is one that we will keep. Well, we won't be late for it. We'll keep it, we'll be on time for it, because that is the appointment that God has set. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 10, we're also told, for the Well, it has escaped me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. It doesn't make any difference what we've done. We're going to stand responsible for what we've done.
You know, it's interesting, David, that passage you just mentioned
mm-hmm.
there, it says, for we must
all.
That means nobody's going to escape that day.
No one.
No one's going to escape. And we're all going to have to give an account. And that's why we have to be ready. And we have to be ready, David, because we don't know when that date's coming, do we?
I have no idea.
It might be today, it might be 1,000 years from now, or 10,000 years from now, but we have to live each day like this is the last day because we're going to have to give an account,
mm-hmm.
because it just might be the last day.
Right. Now, one of the reasons that a lot of people are trying to escape is because they don't want to face this judgment.
Exactly.
They do not want to have to give an account for the things that they have done at this time here on this earth. There's a huge, great judgment scene that we see in Matthew chapter 25, and in verse 31, I just want to read one passage here. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Now, no one is going to be left out, the all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left hand, and then shall he say to them on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those are the words that we want to hear.
Exactly. And so when we think about, David, this end of time,
mm-hmm.
that it's going to be an appointment that none of us is going to be to break. All of us are going to have to be to come before this. And what we want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the question that I have is, since we're going to be in the judgment, everyone's going to be there, whether you've done good or bad, what is going to be the standard by which we're going to be judged at that day? Is it going to be what I think or what you think? Or is it going to be by what the Mayan calendar says or what some philosopher said? Exactly what is it, David,
well,
that's going to judge us?
It's interesting that you ask that because Terry mentioned it while ago on his phone call.
Mm-hmm.
He said people want to reject God's word and take man's word instead. But Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Exactly. And when we think about that also, David, I'm reminded of a passage in Revelation at chapter 20,
mm-hmm.
In verse 12. It says, and I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And so that's another passage, David, that emphasizes the fact that we're going to be judged by the Word of God.
Right, right.
That's why it's important for us to realize, you have heard what men have said. Let's hear what the Bible has to say.
Now, Tom, what we have tried to bring out today is the ludicrousness of believing what men have said versus what God has said.
Exactly.
And so this is one of the reasons that we always go back to our motto. You've heard what men have had to say. Now, let's listen what the Bible has to say. Now, it is God's desire that all men be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And come to a knowledge of the truth. But that doesn't mean that all men are going to be saved.
Exactly.
Because in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
So he gives everyone the opportunity, but everyone does not accept or take the opportunity, do they?
No. Do they want to.
Exactly, because God has given us certain requirements that we need to partake of, to be involved in, before we can receive His grace and go to heaven and
mm-hmm.
hear that sound, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Right.
You know, the Bible tells us very clearly, David, that we, as we begin this process, we need to hear the Word of God, as found in the pages of the Bible, Romans 10 and verse 17, and that hearing leads to what?
Belief, a faith.
Exactly.
And you can't have a faith in God without knowing what the Bible has to say. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him." We cannot please God without faith.
Exactly.
And so we've got to read the Word that causes faith in order to please God. And once we have this belief of what the Bible has to say, it is then that we make the application of that Word to our lives, and that causes us to repent, change our ways
exactly.
from the unrighteous ways of man and the world to the righteous ways of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, given to us in the revealed words of the Bible.
Exactly. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, "Nay, except ye repent,
mm-hmm.
ye shall all likewise perish."
Right.
And so we're going to have a change of life. And when we've read God's Word and believe in Jesus and His Word, then we're going to be willing to repent, that is, to change our life
mm-hmm.
for the better.
Right.
And in doing that, we're also going to be willing to confess His name.
Well, this is another one of the promises that God's made. He said, "If you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven." And so the confession, yes, it is made with the mouth, but it is also made by our actions and by the way that we live and by the things that we do. And if we really love God, we're going to do just exactly what He tells us to do. So we've got to have faith, we've got to repent, we've got to confess His sweet name before men, and then
Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved."
Right.
You know, you would need help to misunderstand that.
Certainly you would.
Jesus the Christ, the same one who said that I'm coming back, the same one that says no one knows when I'm coming back but the Father,
mm-hmm.
the same one that says you're going to be judged by my words, also said that you need to believe and be baptized. That on the day of Pentecost, the Lord added them to the church, didn't He?
Right, right, He did. And when a person is baptized, when he comes out of that watery grave of baptism, he is pure as a baby, ready to stand before God and let the Lord Himself add him to the body of the saved. That is what's going to happen at the judgment. That is what He's going to be looking for at the judgment when He returns to deliver up the kingdom unto God the Father.
So that's what it's all about, David. We've
that
been talking about the end of times.
Right.
We need to be ready for the end of times.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that when the Lord does come, a time when no one else knows, that we're ready for that day. And the only way we're going to be ready is if we are obedient to His holy word.
Right. I'm going to ask Crash, how many seconds do we have? How many minutes we got left, Crash? Well, about ready to go. With that being said, God bless America and God bless our troops. We thank you for listening in and calling in. And, Tom, you got the last word.
We'll see you next week, and I think maybe we'll be talking about that great atrocity that took place in Newtown, Connecticut. Listen in next week as we discuss that variable, horrible issue.